title this morning is The Glory of God, Part 1. So that means there'll be a Part 2 and probably a Part 3, 4, 5, and 6 is what I'm thinking. Because I want to get this in you. And I'm only going to give small doses. The Lord says that, you know, the best type of medicine sometimes is small doses. When you get a small dose of medicine and you keep on taking it, it builds in your system. Amen. And so today the title is The Glory of God, Part 1. It's August 12th. Can you believe half the month is gone? Rent's due in another 15 days. I can't believe it. Amen. Praise God. Do you realize that we're closer to Thanksgiving and Christmas than we are to anything else? Hey, amen. Do you realize the new year is just around the corner? Can you believe 2013 will be knocking on our door? Amen. It's coming soon. But this morning, I want to share about the glory of God for the next few weeks. And I want us to go seek God in His glory, because there's something God wants to do in you, but He also wants to do it within this church body. And one of the things that God's placed on my heart is that this is going to be a place of miracles, signs, and wonders that will break loose. You say, Pastor, how can that be? Well, because when we understand His glory and we understand how to activate some of the ingredients, and when you bake a cake or you make something, you need to put some ingredients in it. And you have to follow those ingredients to a T, otherwise it doesn't taste right. Well, let me tell you, the glory of God will taste real good when you follow the ingredients. When you read the instruction manual called the Bible and you begin to do what God tells you to do, the glory of God falls. And I want to share with you the glory of God, and I want to take it in small pieces, is because there's so much to understand. I've been reading some books on it. I've been investing some time in the glory of God. And I don't know about you, but I like to see some miracles break loose. I like to see some blind eyes be open. I like to see people have to come across the world into this place with wheelchairs and walk out with a pile of wheelchairs here and be able to walk on their own accord. I'm believing for those that had cancer that it falls off them when they leave this place. Amen. I'm believing when sickness comes upon them, before they even get a word from the pulpit, that they've already been touched. Amen. And we can set that atmosphere as Christians, but we all have to understand how this glory works. And we all have to participate in it in order to make it work. So we're going to talk about this morning how we can activate it and some of the ingredients. And in Hebrews 11:3, it says this. I just want to share this with you in Hebrews 11:3. It says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. In other words, God spoke some things into existence that weren't existing before. And all of a sudden, what was not visible became visible. Amen? So we got to understand faith, and we got to understand that the world was framed by the word of God. And when God speaks something, something's going to take place. But when God, before He even speaks, He sets the atmosphere. He sets the arena, per se, to be able to move in the supernatural, and we have to understand how to tap into that. Amen? When God created the earth, He used His own spirit or glory to form the invisible into the visible. The other ingredient that God also did, after He had formed and used His spirit, He also then used sound. He used His voice and He spoke things in existence. You always hear, and God said, let there be light, let there be this, and let there be that, and let there be wild animals, and let there be that. God spoke those things into existence. But He didn't speak it into something that was void. He spoke it into something where His spirit was already hovering. And we're going to talk about that this morning. Now let me help you with some. Only the voice of God could have created, because there was nothing else until God showed up on the spot. Amen. It was the sound waves from the Creator that set things in motion. You know, if you ever seen, there was a show where they used to have people doing singing and they would break the glass because the sound waves were so strong. Sound waves are used nowadays to help cancer patients. They use a certain kind of pulse or a wave, a sound wave that comes, and it can get to an area of something, and they can laser focus that to eliminate someone's growth that might be cancerous. Did you know that? Sound waves are used all the time to move mountains. Did you realize in certain areas they can break the foundation of some mountains? If they're going to, like a mountain pass, and they want to create a road, they use dynamite as well, but they can use sound waves that are so strong that it'll actually shake the foundation of the earth and be able to loosen it so that they can make bulldozers go through sound waves. And it interested me because when I began to read his word, it was what Jesus spoke. And when we speak, we have sound waves. We have something to say. And when we speak, those sound waves go across. You don't see them, but you know they're there. You know that you can hear wind and feel wind, but you don't see wind sometimes. You know it's blowing, but you don't really see it. You don't see air, but you know you're breathing it. Right? So this morning, I want to share with you a little bit about the glory of God. And I want you to note something, because there's been some bad teaching and maybe some things that haven't been correct. So today I want to help correct some things. And I want to note today that God was never recorded as opening his mouth to speak anything until he first sent his Spirit, or the glory of God, to hover, thus creating an atmosphere for miracles, signs, and wonders. So before miracles, signs, and wonders can break loose, the Holy Spirit, or his Spirit, needs to be present in order for things to happen. That's why sometimes when we go to hospitals and we pray for people, and we're praying for them in faith, and we're believing them, and they're in agreement, but sometimes there's not the Spirit of God built. The atmosphere isn't built well enough so that God can move. So that was one of the ingredients that we're going to talk about this morning. And we're going to take a look at this, if you'll stand for the reading of the Word real quick. We're going to look at this in Genesis 1, 1 and 2. And we're going to take a look and how to get the glory of God present in our life, and how we can tap into what God has for us today. Amen. Genesis 1:1 says this. Genesis 1:1 says this. In the beginning, God created, what did he create? He created the heavens and what? And the earth. Verse 2 is important. The earth was without void and form, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Here's the key. And the what? The Spirit of God, what? Was hovering over the face of the waters. Let's say that. And the Spirit over the face of the waters. The Spirit, which is the glory of God, was hovering, think about it, hovering over the face of the waters. When then he spoke, his Spirit was present, things took place. Lord, I ask you to bless this word. I ask you, Lord God, to allow us to be in receive mode. Lord God, let us get your word this morning. Let us increase in your word this morning. Holy Spirit, help us this morning to understand. Let us get these foundational steps in our spirit today so that, Lord, when we leave, we can go apply what you taught us, and that we can begin to live in the glory zone, in the things of miracles, signs, things breaking loose in our lives that people will never understand or comprehend unless they've been plugged into you. I ask you, Lord God, to bless this time and this service in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You can be seated if you can. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The Spirit of God was hovering. The Holy Spirit shows up to our church service every Sunday, because we build the atmosphere for him to show up so he can do what he wants to do. That might mean we're going to praise and worship the whole service and pastor ain't preaching. Thank God. Because if that's what he wants, that's what we're going to do. We're not on a regiment or a program or a plan other than his plan. So whatever he wants to do, however he wants to do it, however he wants to move, we're going to be available to listen. Amen? Now, I want to share something with you about sound waves. I want to talk to you about this because this is important. There's the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, which is the glory of God. It hovers. We've got to have that present before you can speak things into existence. Scientists have studied sound for years. You can't see them when you speak, but they are there nevertheless. God used his sound waves to create. Now, Jesus, we know, is a healer. We know Jesus is our provider. But Jesus is also a creator. Amen. The God we serve is a God that is a creator of good things. Now, let me tell you something. You're going to say, Pastor, I think you're whacked out on this, but I'm going to give you some illustrations of what the Bible says, because I believe that God created everything. Did he not? He created all the fish in the sea and the animals, and he created you and I, and he's done all those type of things. Amen? And if he can't get us to cry out and worship him, something will cry out and worship him. The Bible says in Luke 19:40, the Amplified Bible says this, he replied, I tell you that if those keep silent, these keep silent, the very stones will cry out. Stones will cry out. Did not God create those stones? Everything God created, he created to worship him. Did you know that? Everything that God created, he created to worship him. Oh, Pastor, really? Yeah, yeah. Take a look at Psalms 148:1. We're going to read this scripture. Psalms 148:1. It says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his host. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Let me say that. So the stars are going to praise him. The moon's going to praise him. The sun's going to praise him. It says, praise him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For he commanded that they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. It says, praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures, and all the depths, fire and hail and snow and clouds and stormy winds, fulfilling his words. Mountains and all his hills, fruitful trees and all the cedars, beasts and all the cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all peoples, princesses and all the judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth in heaven, and he was exalted, the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints. Oh, the children of Israel, a people near him, praise the Lord. He had created everything on this earth to praise him. These chairs are going to praise him. Oh, Pastor, you're crazy. Let me make this statement. All creation has the ability to hear, to listen, to obey, to respond, and to worship its creator. Let me say that again. All creation, not just a few, not maybe these or those, all creation has the ability to hear, listen, obey, respond, and worship its creator. Pastor, give me an example. The fig tree. The fig tree did not talk back to Jesus. Jesus seen a fig tree, did he not, when he was walking? And the fig tree, he went to go get fruit and realized it had no fruit and it was supposed to be fruitful in season. And he spoke to that tree. And he said, this tree no longer will bear any more fruit. Did he not say that? He spoke to what you would consider not something that's really alive. It's just a tree. I mean, it's not a human. It's not a dog or a cat or a cattle or a fish. Pastor, it was a tree. It couldn't talk back to him, but it was created to worship him. And when it didn't respond to what God told him to do, he cursed that tree, and that tree, when they went by, died. The apostles, even when they walked by, said, isn't that the same thing that Jesus just spoke to last time? Because, see, when Jesus speaks or when you speak, there is something that's sent forth called sound waves. And those sound waves affect what you speak to. There has been testing and evidence and proof that they had trees, amen, that they've had placed outside of a dormitory where the scientists had studied. And one day there would be those that would curse the tree. And there would be those that would praise it. Oh, tree, you're looking great. Oh, you're beautiful. Look, you're going to have great fruit. And the one tree they cursed died. And the one that they were saying how beautiful and saying the positive, the sound waves affected it where the tree grew. Double what the other one was. It produced fruit quicker than it was supposed to because it spoke. It received the sound waves. So I was a little impressed by that, by saying, okay, sound waves. And then I started looking into it a little bit. Everything, every living thing can and does respond to what you speak to. The Lord has commanded everything to worship him. That's what the Bible said in Psalms 148. Didn't that not say? Everything is to worship him. Have you noticed out in the wilderness or the countryside or the mountains when you go somewhere, you feel the peace of God? You ever notice that? And you can go up in the mountains and, man, this just feels so good. Well, man, when we were kids, we'd go up north and man, you just feel the presence of God and the trees would be blowing, up north and it didn't matter if it was raining. You just felt peaceful. Or if you go to the ocean. I like to go to the beach. And then sit there early in the morning. And my son Matt and I, he go fishing out there, man. And you can hear the water coming in. It's so peaceful, that rushing water, right? It makes you feel good. Well, see, the waves are even worshiping God. You hear in the forest, and you hear the wind blowing and howling through the trees and the sounds of that. And you hear them. Even those type of what you consider inanimate objects, things that really aren't alive, but they really are worshiping God. The trees worship God. The wind and the moon and the sun. Why? It's because his creation is always emitting wave or sound waves that are worshiping him. You ever see a tree moving in the wind? And then he's just praising God. You ever been somewhere in the wilderness where all you can hear is just quiet? Isn't it nice to get away sometimes and hear? And what I'm trying to say is all those things, the mountains and the water, all those things are worshiping God. Think about something. Jesus, Elijah, Moses, and John, those are just four, often went out to the wilderness or to the mountaintop to get into the presence and the glory of God. It wasn't by coincidence that they would just go there. They went there because they knew that that was an atmosphere that was already set. The glory of God is already there. When it's already there and present, and when you begin to speak his word, things change. Amen? Your praise and worship tapes. I'm going to bring it down to your level this morning. When you put your praise and worship tape in your car, or you put them in your earphones, and you're driving somewhere, or you're going somewhere, or you might even have it when you come to church. Don't you feel the presence of God fill that space? Think about it. That praise and worship song fills the atmosphere of God's glory to be used. That's why we do a little praise and worship in the morning, is because it gets all the junk that you had that you're coming in, because the car cuts you off on the road before you got, and what it does, it starts to calm you. It starts to deal with your spirit being. It starts to set the tone, and that presence of God shows up on an audio tape. We don't have a live band jamming. You have audio tape, and that was recorded years ago, but it still has the same effect on you today. Let me take it a little further. How about watching something on TV? TBN has some stuff or some movies or whatever, or some preaching that goes on, and you watch that, and it was recorded years ago, but then when you put it in and you play it, it affects you because it fills the room up with God's glory. I mean, I've watched some stuff from Dr. Price or T.D. Jakes or Smith Wigglesworth, and he's preached some things. And it just fills the room with the presence of God so that God can move in our lives. See, it goes past time. It goes past any of those type of things. It's invisible yet, but it's visible. It shows up. Amen? The key to manifestation in your life is to get the glory of God in your life and then speak the word. And those sound waves from your mouth, when it's attached to the Holy Spirit, which is His glory, will change your situation. Amen? We need to understand that we need the glory of God. That's the first ingredient. We need to have Him available, the Holy Spirit available, to do what He needs to do. Because once He's available and we begin to speak His word, He can act on our behalf. That's why miracles, signs, and wonders take place. That's why these big crusades build the atmosphere up. Why? Because God will move in that atmosphere that's built up. Take a look at Matthew 17:20. Matthew 17:20. He said this. So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move and be here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." But you have to be a person of faith, a person that is flowing in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Luke 8:25. I'm going to show you a little bit more. Luke 8:25. I want to help build something for you this morning. Luke 8:25. "But he said to them, 'Where is your faith?' And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, 'Who can this be? For he commands even the wind and water, and they obey him.'" Because the wind and the water can hear and have to respond to the sound waves of what's coming out of your mouth. "Oh, Pastor, sure. Ask my daughter when we capsized our boat. We were calling out on the name of Jesus. And let me tell you, there was no boats and nobody on the lake probably for miles. But God, we said, 'Sea, cease.' We're speaking to the water and the waves and the wind and the storm and all that that was blowing. And we kept on speaking to it. And then Jesus showed up in a boat. He brought a Catholic priest and five fishermen to bail our big butts out of the water before we drowned." "Oh, Pastor, that's that." No, no, no. God showed up. Why? Because we called on His name. We created an atmosphere. We dwell with God all the time. I can call on Him anytime. He seen we were in trouble, but we had to call upon His name. Yeah, it was scary, but we didn't allow the fear of the storm to slow us down. We kept on calling, "Waves, stop in Jesus' name. Lord, bring us a boat. Bring somebody. I don't care how you got to get, but help us." And there was a boat in the distance that came and seen us. Now, to see it in waves that are 5 or 6 feet, pretty hard. But they spotted us. Even the water obeyed Jesus. Even the wind obeyed Jesus. Jesus even created things that were created in one thing and directed it by His sound waves. He commanded it under the Holy Spirit to turn into something else. So you need to understand something this morning. That God won't move unless the Spirit's there. See, I'm learning the principles. You could be the most anointed person and you could work in anointing and the gifting, but when the Holy Spirit shows up and the glory of God falls down, it's so much easier. You don't have to do anything. He does it all. He's the one that touches people. He's the one that heals people. He's the one that gives you that word of wisdom to touch a person and speak to them and watch their life changed. But God can create and turn anything into something else that He created by directing it by sound wave. It's by what He spoke. Jesus spoke, and then something took place. When you speak, something takes place. Well, there's sound waves. You can speak to your ailment. "This shoulder bothers me. In Jesus' name, I'm healed. In Jesus' name, I'm believing. I have to build an atmosphere sometimes with praise and worship, and then I begin to start speaking His word, and I start to feel better. Oh, Pastor, that's crazy. No, I'm using the sound waves to speak to this. It needs to line up with His word. Amen? Let me help you with something. Anything that is saturated in the glory of God keeps its power. Let me say that again. Anything that is saturated in the glory of God, which is His Spirit of God, keeps its power. When you are saturated, anything in the glory of God, The weight of God is heavier than any situation you deal with. Think about that. When you are saturated, anything in the glory of God that comes across is going to be heavier than that situation that you're dealing with. Amen? When you speak to something, the sound waves carried by your faith will change what you speak to. Oh, Pastor, I don't know. Can you give me an example? You remember the story of the two fish and five loaves? You remember there was a big gathering, probably 5,000 men, and then you add some women, some children, you probably had 15,000 people. And Jesus was speaking. And people were hungry, their stomach was growling, and God knew that they were hungry. And his boy said, oh, I ain't got much, but here's all I got. And he gave them two fish and five loaves of bread. And then Jesus prayed and spoke over. He had the atmosphere built already by what he was preaching. The Holy Spirit was already hovering over the situation. And then Jesus spoke to the fish, spoke to the bread. What happened? It multiplied. That's unusual, because there was only two fish and five loaves, and all of a sudden they had a whole bunch left over. Because, see, God's into multiplication. Pastor, that's one illustration. How about turning water into wine? Explain that one to me. Jesus took water, and they filled the vats to overflowing, and he touched it. But before he touched it, he had the Spirit of God overflowing in that area, and then he spoke to it and turned the water into wine. Why? Because he spoke it. The sound waves of what Jesus spoke changed that water into wine. And then he used the wine. And what did they say? This is better wine. Why did you save the best wine for last? Because whatever Jesus touches is always going to be perfect. How about Moses? Moses had a rod, a staff that he carried. And there was a time where he was being challenged, and he took this rod and he threw it down on the ground, and it turned into a serpent, a snake. Why? Because he had the glory of God that he was dealing with. The glory of God filled that area. And then when he took that object, which was a stick, and spoke to the stick, and he threw it to the ground, it turned into a serpent. And everyone kind of backed away. And, whoa, what's going on here? How about Elijah? Elijah was dead, and they took his dry bones, and they put him on in this area, and this man had died, and they laid his body upon these bones. And then he got life. He rose from the dead. The glory, it was still in his bone. What the glory of God saturates, the power always exists. Let's make it current for you. I watch TV on occasion, and there's some good preaching and teaching, and sometimes there'll be some old stuff on there. I'll hear stuff that was back from 30 or 40 or 50 years ago. And I'll put it on the TV and I'll watch it. And that anointing of God will be so strong that, I mean, I'll be weeping and crying and, you know, going crazy. You know what I mean? I mean, for God. Now, how could that be? If that was 50 years ago that was spoken, how would it be relevant for today? I always ask God that. But God knows, because His Spirit knows. His Spirit's always relevant. His Spirit's always going to flow. His Spirit's always going to move. Amen? And I think about this, and I ask God, His glory transcends time. It transcends walls. That's why we can pray for people here, and they can get healed wherever they're at, if it's in Michigan, or if it's at the hospital bed, or wherever it's at. When we get together and the glory of God falls down, people, amen, are touched. Let me close with this thing. I want you to think about this. The glory can defy the laws of nature and gravity. The glory can defy the nature and gravity. Take a look at Luke 11:10. I'm going to close with this scripture. Luke 11:10. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. Let me give you an example. Jesus was walking on the water. And Jesus said to the sea to be to calm down, to slow down. And the sea listened to what he said. How about Peter for a second? Peter went to meet Jesus on the water. Now, you'd say, well, Jesus, you know, he was God. He could do these miracle signs. But how about Peter? Peter was just like you and I. I mean, now, Peter was a cusser and a womanizer and a fisherman. And, he was one of Jesus' 12. Amen? But think about this. He actually stepped out of the boat in faith. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was hovering above the water, and Jesus spoke to him. He said, okay, God, I'm going to follow you, and stepped out and walked on that water. He defied nature, and he defied gravity. When you work within the area of God's glory, you can throw everything else out the window. Amen? Because nature's going to be defied. Gravity is going to be defied. The sickness that was in your body is going to be defied. Doctors' reports are going to be defied. Miracles will break loose. Wonders will take place. You'll never be the same in Jesus' name. Jesus instructed him to walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Until he realized he was so far out in the water, then he finally realized, oh my God, I'm walking on water. He began to sink. But Jesus was there. If he never got off focus, he would have been good to go. He would have been able to walk all the way to Jesus. Amen? Jesus ascended to heaven. That don't happen in the natural, but it does in the supernatural. Elijah, he was taken up in a chariot of fire. How about Paul and Silas? I always like Paul and Silas. They're in the inner prison, and they begin to build the atmosphere through praise and worship. They were shackled in the inner prison where no one could hear them. But God. Maybe if you pictured it this way, maybe you were down about 20 levels under the ground. Maybe you were under 80 feet. Maybe you were under a sub-basement, under a sub-basement, under a sub-basement. Think about that. Who could hear you? But God. And they begin to praise him, and they begin to worship him, and they built the atmosphere, and then they begin to ask God for what they wanted. And God showed up. Amen? And what happened? The walls of the prison shook, the shackles got broke, they walked out, and many got saved along the way. Here's one. You don't really believe that the natural could, you know, the supernatural things would take place. How about the walls of Jericho? You ever hear about this? How thick those walls were, and how tall they were, and yet they crumbled down when they shouted with their sound waves? They were silent for 1 week. Think about that. The Bible records that the people were silent for 1 week, and they walked around, and they walked around for 1 week being silent. I don't know if I could be silent for a week. That would be hard for me. I got to get, 2,000 million words out a day, or otherwise, I ain't getting it done. But the walls of Jericho crumbled when they all used their voice to speak to the wall, and the wall crumbled. In the natural, you're saying, Pastor, well, they must have used dynamite. They didn't have dynamite back. They had Jesus. They shouted the voice of the Lord, and what happened? The walls came down. Oh, Pastor, that's not natural to happen. Not big, thick walls that are gigantic. I mean, I think they could ride the chariots on top of it. That's how wide it was. And the walls crumble by the sound wave. When Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit show up, and the glory of God shows up, something supernatural is going to take place. When you can understand and start tapping into the glory of God, when he has the glory of God, and you begin to tap it and speak. Now, they got in agreement and unison. And when they spoke, those walls shook and they crumbled by the sound wave. The same sound with that God spoke light into existence, water into existence, you and I into existence. Then he created Adam, and then he created Eve. All those things. Let me tell you, the walls of Jericho crumbled and came down because they shouted. It was the sound waves of God activated with their faith, activated by the Holy Spirit that was hovering in the area. And the walls came down. This morning, let me ask you a question. What walls in your life need to come down? What has been coming out of your mouth, and what have you been confessing? Have you experienced the glory of God lately? Have you asked Him? Have you sought Him? Have you knocked on the door of Christ Jesus lately? Have you been in the presence of God and have been saturated by His glory? Because when you get saturated in His glory, it doesn't leave you. When you get saturated in His glory, the power still exists. Now, I would tell you, years ago, I used to make fun of this prayer cloth thing. Oh, get this prayer cloth, brother, for $3.99 to our ministry, and it's anointed. But I learned something about this. Now, I don't think selling the prayer cloth thing is a thing to do. But the principle was 100% correct. And I overlooked the principle, is that when you get the presence of God in an area and you begin to pray and worship and people are in unity and agreement and you begin to use His word, whatever that object that they placed on the altar got filled with its glory. So they could cut that up in little pieces and send you a little piece, because the power and the glory of God still remained in the cloth. So you could go lay it on somebody and on their head in the Bible and then or in the hospital, and they would get healed. Why? Because the glory of God hadn't changed. Elijah was dead and his bones were there, but they were still full of His power and the glory of God. And when someone fell down upon them, they got right back up. Why? And they were rose from the dead because there was power in the glory of God. Amen? Once it's saturated with His glory, it can't be removed. That's why this church is going to be saturated with His glory. So when people come in, they can feel the presence of God. God has to sometimes remove some things and straighten some things out in the house so that He can then make sure that the foundation is solid and that the atmosphere is clear and clean so that people can receive. Today, let us begin to take some time and allow the glory to hover in our lives. Speak the word and watch the very items that have held us back be removed. Let the sound waves that come from our vocal cords activate our faith and then change what has been hindering us and holding us back. Remember this, that Jesus is just not the healer and the provider. He is also creator. God has created us in His image to worship Him. Just like He's created the sun and the moon and the rain and the stars and the wind and the sea. And He's also had everything else in the mountains and also in the wilderness to worship Him. We have to learn to worship Him to bring the atmosphere. We have to learn to make sure that His presence is here so when we speak His word, life changes. Things happen. I say that is because our ministry is really founded, my wife and I, on healing people. Spirit, soul, and body. And I'm learning now after 9 years of doing things that we need to have a total cooperation from all people that are in the service in order for Him to flow. In order for miracles, signs, and wonders to break loose. And I've been asking Him, how are you going to fill this church? He says, only people will be drawn because of miracles, signs, and wonders. They want to know what's going on in your church and not in somebody else's church. They're going to be drawn because of the miracles, signs, and wonders that are happening in here. Why, when they come in here, they get healed? Why is it that when they come in and they're right about to divorce their husband or their wife, that at the end of the service, they're back together and that those papers have been torn up before they walk out the door? Why is people's mind that has been altered by drugs and alcohol and they come in here and they get the glory of God in their life and it just eliminates all the stuff? It's like they went through a detox in 45 minutes. Amen? That will draw people into the house of the Lord. You and I don't need to see all the miracles, signs, and wonders because we believe. But there are those that don't believe yet and they're going to need to see the evidence of God. Amen? So guess what? He's going to use us. He's going to work in us and through us. Amen? He's going to use us as He sees fit. But He's asking us to tap in to the glory. If we can understand as a body of Christ the glory of God, how that works, that ingredient, and then we learn how to speak and use our sound waves, our vocal cords, to attach to something, it'll go, it'll change. You can move mountains. Amen? Obstacles that have been in your way, sickness that's held you back, people that have come across your pathways that need a touch, and they haven't figured out how. They've been praying, they've been tithing, they've been giving, they come to church, but they haven't seen the breakthrough yet because they need the glory of God to manifest. And then when God, and the glory of God shows up, it's so much easier to work in. Amen? I mean, we all can work in our anointings, and God will honor that, but it's work. God never created us to have to work hard in working in His spirit realm. So over the next few weeks, I'm going to be spilling and spending some time spilling out everything that God's given me regarding this, because He wants us to understand how it's going to flow and how it's going to work. And so it's not this spooky thing. It's not this magic trick that they think sometimes God's Santa Claus and He's going to snap His fingers and you're going to have... No. But when you understand that His Spirit is hovering over us and we build that atmosphere and then we start speaking His Word, things will have to take place. Things will have to change. Legs that are out of socket are going to have to come back in socket. Amen? Eyes that couldn't see that were blurry are going to have to get straightened out. Ears that couldn't hear because they were deaf are going to have to hear again. People who couldn't speak could be able to speak. People who had cancer will be healed. I don't know if you believe that or not. I do. I'm just crazy enough to believe that. Because I've been asking God, how are you going to fill this church? He says, the world's not going to come unless they see something. Until someone speaks, you ain't going to believe what happened down in that little church over there. God said, they'll come, that would be standing room. They're going to want to come in because they're going to want to see. But I'm not here for them to see. I'm from here for them to experience. And when they walk into a cloud of glory every Sunday and their life gets changed and transformed and their teenagers are off the streets and doing what they're supposed to be doing and listening and obeying, let me tell you, the place will be packed. It will be full. Amen? But we, as the core group of Christians that are gathered here today, have to understand it. I have to explain. I have to teach. I have to preach on how this is going to be and give you examples so that you can get that this morning and you can say, hey, I get it. I believe this. I understand that the walls will even cry out. Didn't the Bible say even the walls will cry? The stones will cry out, for God's sake. If no one wants to praise Him, something will. It should be us praising Him. It should be us building the atmosphere. Amen. Maybe we ought to just take a little break and go out to the wilderness for a day or go up to Mount Charleston and spend a little time with God. Let me tell you, when you come back charged up. Why? Because you've had all these things worshiping God the whole time and you're just in the presence of it the whole time. Jesus went in the wilderness. Moses went in the wilderness. Paul seeked it in the wilderness. Seeked it in the mountaintops. Why? Because they're always worshiping God. They're always building the atmosphere. The Holy Spirit or the glory of God is always showing up. And then you speak. And then when you speak, guess what? Something happens. Amen? Did you get anything this morning? Amen. Did you really get anything? Yes. You had better buy that CD twice. Amen? Because we're going to build upon this every week. And I believe that once you get this under your skin and get this in your spirit, that your life is going to change. I really believe that once you come in confessing that I'm coming to church and the glory of God's going to show up, and you begin to start to confess that, and you start to believe that, when you walk in, the glory of God will be in this place. It'll be easy for miracles, signs, and wonders to take place. The more people we have come that hear the word and tap into this, the anointing gets stronger. The corporate anointing grows. I won't even have to preach. Now I understand why, and I've always said from the pulpit, there was a guy named Smith Wigglesworth. And I thought, man, what a crazy name this guy had, right? But he would walk into a train at the time, and people would just fall out by the Spirit of God or get healed or get touched or get saved because the presence of God was so strong on his life. There was times that he wouldn't have to say a word and the whole people would fall out. I'm waiting for that day here. I'm waiting for it to come like real soon. Amen. That I don't even have to say a word. That I come up and the presence of God is so thick that we're all out and we get up and man, we're like healed up and everything's good. Amen. New visitors come in and be like, what just happened to me? Amen. Hour just went by. We were out, man. I don't know what happened, but man, praise and worship was so good. Man, then the glory came down. Boom. You had to say a word. People will get healed. People will bring somebody else to get healed. I mean, they do it Benny Hinn. They bring another person. A friend will bring a friend that needs to be healed. Amen. But he builds the atmosphere. It's important that the atmosphere is there before the word is spoken. There's an order to things. Build up the atmosphere before you speak the word. God did it. He built the atmosphere and then he said, let there be light. Let there be life. Let there be this. Let there be that. And then on the seventh day, he rested. He did everything he's going to do. He ain't going to do any more than he's already done. Amen. Heavenly Father, bless your people. I ask you, Lord God, to guide them and direct them. Have your way and your will with them this day. Father God, I ask you to bless them this day. Lord God, whatever they're seeking after this week, that they'll find in you. Father God, if it's a better job, more pay. Lord God, if it's convenience, if it's a new car, if it's a home. Lord God, whatever they need, let you be the supplier of that. Father God, let them trust you. Let them start building up their atmosphere around them, Lord God. Let them build a glory zone around them. Lord God, let them speak your word, Father God, as you fill their atmosphere with your Holy Spirit. Guide them and direct them and have your will and your way with them this week. Lord, bless them. And Lord, let me take one moment before we dismiss. If there are those that are here this morning that don't know Jesus, don't have that personal relationship with him, haven't received him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you haven't been with him for a while, you haven't spent some time with him. If that's you this morning, as our eyes are closed, just for a minute, our heads are bowed, I'm not here to embarrass you, I'm here to embrace you. If that's you this morning, and you don't have that personal relationship with Jesus, you haven't experienced God. I'm not here to chastise you, I'm here to love you into the kingdom of God. If that's you this morning, and you haven't received Jesus as Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you this morning to raise your hand so I can pray with you and for you. No one's looking at you, their eyes are closed and their heads are bowed. If that's you this morning, I ask you to raise your hand so I can pray with you and for you this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Heavenly Father, thank you. Whoever should call upon your name, you'll hear. I thank you for those that are here today that have called upon your name. I ask you, Lord God, that they continue to ask you, they continue to seek you, and they continue to knock on your door. For their persistence, Lord God, will lead them into the glory zone. It'll lead them into your hands. It'll lead them into the spirit realm, Father God, where you can work in them and through them. Guide them, direct them, bless them this day. As they go forth, Lord, a hedge of protection around them. As they go to their schools, as they go to their work, their jobs, bless them. Lord God, let there be a radical increase in favor in their lives. Touch them, bless them, guide them, and direct them. In your mighty name, Jesus, I pray. And everybody said, amen and amen.